Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is the meeting of the South Dakota Public Utilities meeting, or rather the South Dakota Public Utilities Commission. It's Thursday, December 28th, 2006 at 9 a.m. This is room 412 of the State Capitol Building, and this is the time and the place for the ad hoc meeting of the commission. The only item before us today is under electricity item number one. It's EL06-019. It's in the matter of the application of Black Hills Power Incorporated for authority to increase rates for electrical service. And the question before the commission today is, shall we approve a joint motion for a settlement stipulation? We do have Mr. Evans and Mr. White at the microphone. We also have on the line Bob Towers. Bob, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
And Bob Lee. Mr. Lee? Great, wonderful. And I don't know if you all had planned anything in particular, but I was thinking we'd hear from the applicants and then hear from the interveners and then staff, if that's acceptable to the parties. All right, let's proceed. Go ahead.
Good morning.
I'm sorry. I would note for the record that Commissioner Hansen and Commissioner Kolbeck are also here in Pierre. Thanks.
Good morning. I'm Kyle White, representing Black Hills Power today. Thank you for the opportunity to have this hearing this week. We know it's not the most convenient week with the holiday schedule, but this is important to us, and we appreciate the opportunity to be here. With me today are some company representatives to support our application and the settlement that's before you. I have with me Lynn Evans, who is our president and chief operating officer for Black Hills Corporation's retail business units. We also have with us Marv Truey, who is outside counsel supporting us, Jackie Sargent, our director of rates, and Brian Iverson, our senior counsel for Black Hills Corporation. We're anticipating an informal process today, so as I talk about the application and talk about the settlement, feel free to ask questions as you'd like. Give you a little background and history for Black Hills Power. It's been some time since we've been before the commission with a request for an electric rate increase. Our last application was in 1995, and that case was one that was largely centered on incorporating a new coal-fired power plant, the 85-megawatt Neil Simpson Unit No. 2, into the company's rates. That rate case also did settle. It settled for a 6% revenue increase, and it also incorporated some rate freezes in it. The first rate freezes were for approximately 4.5 years, and then later were extended through a settlement with staff in 1999 so that we had a rate freeze through the end of 2004. So what our customers have experienced is about 11 years of flat rates. That rate increase did not include fuel and purchase power adjustments. And so, therefore, if you make a comparison for our customers to the consumer price index over that period of time, the consumer price index went up about 25%, and our customers saw a 0% increase in their rates. So we're very pleased with the rate stability and the cost containment that we've been able to achieve during that period of time, particularly with the changes that have occurred since 1995. Black Hills Corporation, through Black Hills Power, has made significant investments in new generation, in new transmission, and new distribution. In fact, we're serving about 12,000 more customers today than we were in 1995. So it's been significant, the investment and the needs in a growing service territory. During that period of time, we've also experienced increased price volatility for natural gas, for fuel oil, and for purchase power. Those markets have changed dramatically since the mid-1990s, and there's been a variety of reasons for that. One of the primary reasons being a more robust wholesale power market, something that we worked hard to develop a power marketing business in during the last decade or so. Our application for an electric rate increase was submitted to you on June 30th of this year. And in our request, we asked for a 9.5% increase with three adjustment clauses. That 9.5% increase, as proposed, was to be an across-the-board rate increase for all customer classes. And we were requesting, as we are requesting in the settlement today, that rates be effective January 1st, 2007. In compliance with the commission's rules, we provided statements A through R, significant work papers, and also supporting testimony from 13 witnesses. As a result of our application, we did provide public notice to our customers in the form as specified by the commission. We provided information in our customer newsletters, and for our largest customers, approximately 300 of them, we sent specific letters to them announcing the increase, and for the largest customers, had specific discussions with them, either by phone or in person, so that they were aware of the changes that were being proposed and the need for the increase. As a result of those public notices, customer contacts, and the press coverage that we received, there was some minor inquiries from the smaller customers and the intervention of three industrial consumers that we refer to as the Black Hills interveners. They were later joined by one additional industrial consumer and became a group of four customers that intervened in the proceeding and conducted extensive discovery. Through their regulatory attorney and their regulatory consultant. In fact, it's the same team that was involved representing industrial consumers in our 1995 case, so they're well familiar with our company and our practices. In addition, there was extensive discovery by South Dakota Public Utilities Commission staff, as well as discussion on an informal basis about the particular aspects of our company and our proposed increase. The settlement with the interveners was our first accomplishment in moving this proceeding forth to today. That was completed in, I believe, late October, early November, and the next step was then to work on settlement with staff. The settlement with the interveners is a confidential settlement and was accepted by staff and is incorporated into the settlement that's before you today. Give you a little background then on the settlement, which you've been reviewing the last week or so. It does provide for a 7.8% increase in base rates. The rates would be effective January 1st, 2007, if approved by you today. It does provide for a rate freeze, where rates for our base rates will not be increased until 2010 at the earliest. And it also provides for three adjustment clauses. I want to talk with you a bit about the adjustment clauses that are included in there in just a moment. The revised tariffs are also included with the settlement before you, and they have been approved by staff. And the settlement also provides, through the tariffs, some increases in some miscellaneous charges. One of the important tariff design elements that staff pushed hard for was that we increased the monthly customer charge, the monthly minimum that customers pay, by only 50 cents. And by increasing it only 50 cents, that's only a dollar since 1982, since this company's only had two rate increases before this commission in the last 24 years now. So it's a minor change. It allows for a monthly minimum that actually goes up less than the average percentage increase. Other miscellaneous charges that are increasing are the connection charge for new customers is increasing from $10 to $20, and the reconnection charge is increasing from $10 to $15. That reconnection charge is most typically associated with reconnections associated with disconnection of service for non-payment. The adjustment clauses are separate. They are each an annual adjustment clause. They each would be determined on a calendar year basis and would become effective March 1st, 2008 at the earliest, and then March 1st of each year following. The first is the steam plant cost adjustment clause. It is a pass-through of charges for fuel related to our steam generation. Currently, Black Hills Power only has coal-fired steam generation. However, it's possible that you could have natural gas-fired steam generation in the future. Unlikely, but so we can pretty much characterize this as the coal fuel pass-through. The costs for coal, as you are aware, are priced on a Statement R methodology that's been approved and utilized by this commission for a couple of decades now. It is a utility-type rate of return where the costs of mining the coal are included in the price associated with the return on the allocated investment in the Wyodak coal mine, which is an affiliate of Black Hills Power. The transmission cost adjustment clause is, again, a traditional form of pass-through tariff. It passes through Black Hills Power's costs associated with transmission service provided by other utilities on a wholesale basis, primarily under tariffs approved by the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. And it is in a form where it, too, is on an annual basis, on a calendar year basis. Both the steam plant fuel cost adjustment and the transmission cost adjustment do provide for increased cost pass-throughs and pass-throughs of reductions in costs associated with coal or transmission. The conditional energy cost adjustment is the innovative adjustment clause that's before you today. It is set up in a fashion where it is a risk-sharing mechanism between customers and the company for the costs associated with natural gas, fuel oil, and purchased power. In all circumstances, when the company's total cost of natural gas, fuel oil, and purchased power increases above the base charge as provided for in the tariffs that you have before you, by more than $2 million, or by $2 million, the first $2 million is the responsibility of the company. After an increase on a total company basis of $2 million, then the tariff provides for a formula approach where the company contributes support to those cost increases dependent upon the net income of its power marketing business. The cost reductions are also handled in a bit different way. And in this case, if the cost for natural gas, fuel oil, or purchased power is reduced from the base charge as provided for in this application, then when that dollar amount is greater than $1 million on an annual basis, 100% of South Dakota's share of those reduced costs would be refunded to consumers. And why we've structured it this way is our customers like rate stability, so each of the adjustment clauses are provided for on an annual basis. That provides stability and predictability in pricing once those adjustment clauses are known. And it also puts us in a position where the company is encouraged to work to contain costs, particularly in the purchase power area, and to look for opportunities and maintain a strong and effective power marketing business. The elements of the application, we believe, provide for just and reasonable rates. We have talked about the fact that we believe that it reduces both the risk to consumers and the risk to the company associated with volatility in the natural gas and purchased power markets especially. We believe that approval of this rate increase and its associated adjustment clauses will help ensure a successful future for Black Hills Power. And most importantly, we are convinced that with this rate increase, we will be able to continue to provide a high reliability of service and maintain the high customer satisfaction rate of 98% that our customers have enjoyed from this company. And we believe we can do that through the period of time of the rate freeze and potentially beyond. So we thank you for the opportunity to be here today, and we request that you approve with a bench order the settlement that is before you and cause the rates and tariffs incorporated in it to become effective January 1st, 2007.
Thank you very much. At this point, we would turn to, if it's all right with my colleagues, perhaps we'll just hold questions or comments until after we've heard from all the parties. We'll proceed to the interveners. Mr. Robert Lee, we have you on the phone. Would you like to make any comments?
Yes, Chairman Johnson, Commissioners. I think Mr. White has fairly described the application for the increase and the settlement that was reached. I have very little to add other than we believe the staff has done an admirable job in negotiating a fair and equitable settlement of the issues, and of course we're content with the arrangement that we reached with the company, and we endorse the stipulated settlement and urge you to adopt it, and I'm available to answer any questions.
Thanks very much, Mr. Lee. At this point, we would turn to staff to see if Mr. Jacobson, Mr. Sanger, Mr. Knadel, Mr. Bettman, Mr. Solem, or Ms. Kramer to see what they have to add.
Thank you, Commissioners. This is Keith Sanger from staff. On December 22nd, which had been last Friday, we submitted a fairly detailed staff memorandum explaining all of staff's positions. The first 13 pages is what I would say written explanation of essentially everything that went on in staff's position. Thereafter is essentially what I would consider the meat of our case. That's all the numbers and how we got to the numbers where we're at today. But you know, I don't have a lot to add either. I think our memo details everything, and we're certainly open for any questions that the commissioners or the advisors may have.
I think at this time we will open it up to commissioner and advisor comments or questions. I would note it's not very often you have somebody on staff turn 100 years old. Today Greg Rizlov has done that, so we will provide all due deference to Mr. Rizlov whenever he has questions to ask. Welcome to the Century Club, Mr. Rizlov. Questions or comments by commissioners or advisors? Commissioner Kolbeck.
Yes, I just have two questions. It's on page 12, it actually refers to new connect charges. Reconnect charges and non-sufficient funds. Is new construction or new customer to an existing prem, is that affected? Are those charges affected also?
Yes, the connection charge is for establishment of a new electric account or to move into an existing electric account. So, for example, if you were to move into an apartment, you would have a $20 charge.
What was it? Previously it was
$10.
$10. Okay. And the other question I had was, are line extension charges, are they affected in this?
They are not. The tariffs that are incorporated in our rules and regulations continue to provide for the same line extension practices that we've had for about 16 years now.
So, in effect, if someone was moving into an apartment in your area, the difference would be their 50-cent meter charge a month and $10 to get hooked up.
And an increase in the energy charge as
well. Thank you.
Other questions or comments? Proceed, Mr. Smith.
Kyle, I'm not sure whether this is you. I'm going to move to the document that's confidential,
yes.
Which is the settlement agreement. And I don't think anyone is in the room that would not be, unless Bob Miller, if you care whether he hears.
I think that's up to Bob Lee. It's all right with us.
Bob Lee, do you care whether Bob Miller is in the room?
No, that's fine.
We do have the internet on, Mr. Smith. I'm fine shutting it off. Does the question make sense to take now, or would it make sense to take the confidential question at the end of questions so that?
However you want to do it. I wasn't sure whether maybe we were about at the end of questions, but if there are other questions, fire away first.
Yeah, let's go ahead and do that if you don't mind.
Sure.
You have non-confidential questions? Mr. Smith?
One of them, again, both the questions I have involve the confidential agreement. But I don't know that one of them is really confidential. I'll point you to where it is, and it's 8B. And take a look at that, and you can tell me whether you think that doesn't look to me like something that you'd care about.
I do have it. Do you want my copy?
No, I've got it.
Okay.
I've got it here. Thank you.
Let's just pause to make sure that that's okay with applicants.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, that'd be fine.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, I think just explain to me, I'm assuming, and are you guys okay with us talking about this in public, right?
Yes.
Because it's just procedural.
And it will affect the...
the actual publicly filed tariff.
Yes.
This is really not anything that isn't in there, relevant to what's in there. And just so that I understand the way this works, and I saw, you know, the tariff incorporates the February 10th filing date and the March 1st effective date. And what my assumption is then what we're talking about here is you file it on the 10th, and that if a proceeding ensues, that we would conclude the proceeding relative to the February 10th filing by September 30th. Is that what we're agreeing to here? I just want to understand how this mechanically is supposed to work.
Well, let me explain to you how I understand it. Historically, when Black Hills Power has had fuel and purchase power adjustments, they've been primarily informational filings reviewed by staff and in the past implemented on a monthly basis. What the Black Hills interveners were concerned about is that when you're doing an annual filing covering the types of costs that these cover, that it have a bit of a more formal review process. And so what this provides for is that the company would prepare its annual filing and submit it to the commission for its consideration and approval by February 10th. It would go into effect March 1st, yet there would be potentially a procedural schedule if parties intervened where it would be then subject to review and potential modification. Should the modification occur, it really doesn't have any impact other than a change in rates, because each of the adjustment clauses does provide for a balancing account where over or under recoveries are then included in the subsequent year's filing. And they provide for interest on over and under recoveries as well. But it's essentially there to ensure that the Black Hills interveners get an opportunity to participate and any other customers get an opportunity to participate as well. And so it's a process that the parties will get together and talk about what an application should look like, and we will do that, you know, during the next year in anticipation of a February 10th filing for each of the three tariffs in 2008.
Just for a follow-up question, this is Rolaine Weiss. Did you say that if someone intervenes, then it would be subject to approval?
Well, I think it is subject to approval. The question is how thorough of a process is required is dependent upon whether somebody intervenes.
So even if no one intervenes, it would still be subject to approval?
That's my understanding.
Okay, thanks.
And I think what your comment was more along the lines of why would we be talking about so many months until September 30th to get at it, and it certainly – from what I've seen around here, it could go that long if depending on what happens. Is this something? I mean, it's included in the confidential document, but is this something that you believe ought to be included in the public order that we issue here at this point in time? Because it would seem to be binding the commission right now to a procedural item that if we approve it, that probably should be out there.
I would
all
agree.
To see, and the other, my other question I think is going to go into a confidential area.
Hold on, let's just hold that. Thanks very much. Other commissioner or advisor comments or questions? Go ahead, Commissioner Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning. First, I'd like to say congratulations to everyone, not just Black Hills Power, but to the interveners and to staff, and especially appreciate the way everyone worked together. We've heard so many nightmares from across the United States on the challenges of rate making, and having seen what has taken place, especially on the East Coast and in some of the other areas where there's been requests for 35% and 40% and 70% rate increases, you can imagine as public utilities commissioners we're a little bit concerned when we hear that there's going to be a rate case, and especially from the standpoint, having gone through it and read all of the work that's been prepared for us, I sincerely appreciate the thoroughness of staff and the way that folks have gotten together and worked through this process. I have a few questions on just a couple of things that I want to make certain brings me up to speed. One is a curiosity on the conditional energy cost adjustment that you've been calling CECA. You call it, Kyle, you refer to it as being innovative. Are you aware of other utilities using this type of program?
I am not. We did not do a very thorough review. We essentially looked at what would work well for our customer base and for our business, and we designed it in a custom way to support what we believe our needs are. And then through the negotiations, both with the Black Hills interveners and with staff, it was further modified. So it is an adjustment clause that will be tested in the next 3 years. We think it works well. Our model of risk sharing, particularly in the last 11 years, is a bit unique, and we believe provides benefits to consumers, and that's what we're about.
Thank you. It is. It looks like it's an interesting process. As if I were your customer, I would think it would be a great opportunity to basically almost participate as a stockholder. It's an innovative idea. I appreciate it. Keith, are you aware of any other systems that use this?
I know that there's other companies out there throughout the United States who have incentives in their adjustment clauses, if they do have adjustment clauses, but I do not know of any that functions like this.
Okay. Thank you. Keith, I've got one question on your memo to us. On page 5, you refer to the depreciation expense and accumulated depreciation. At the bottom of that paragraph, you point out that the net of the adjustments for depreciation increased the total company depreciation expense by approximately $936,000 and the accumulated depreciation by approximately $468,000. And yet I see on page 10 that after you've gone through the process on the depreciation expense, that it resulted in a decrease in depreciation expense for South Dakota of approximately $165,000 and a decrease in accumulated depreciation for South Dakota of approximately $82,000. And I'm real curious how an increase of $1.5 million becomes a decrease for South Dakota of nearly $200,000. I think that's excellent work on your behalf.
Well, I do have to say that the way staff structured our adjustments, it's not quite as good as it looks on the memo. When Black Hills Power, when they did their adjustment, essentially they took their net plant and they added in all their adjustments, and then they turned around and they recalculated because they changed their depreciation rates based on a study that they had. So their adjustment was one fail swoop adjustment that came through and adjusted depreciation for the rate change and for the increase in plant. When staff came through, we did our adjustment separately. When we amortized account 106, when we annualized account 106, we calculated our depreciation in there. When we added plant in, we calculated our depreciation in there. So our depreciation increases are actually farther up in staff's part of the memo when it talks about the plant adjustments. If you look there, we have increases in depreciation there, and I point out to you specifically what pages they would be on. probably page 9 about, page 9? Yeah. Actually, no, it'll be up here. When you look at page 7, when it says rate base issues, we have plant additions and we have annualization. That's where we take account for the accumulated depreciation. And on the bottom of page 9, it discusses it too. But essentially, on when you see that decrease in depreciation, that was just one of three adjustments that staff made, and that was merely for taking test year rate base and calculating the new depreciation on it, because when Black Hills submitted their depreciation study, overall that lowered their depreciation when you take it as a single item. So that calculation that you see where we actually decreased accumulated depreciation and depreciation expense was merely for the test year rate base calculation on the new rates.
Thank you. I appreciate your discussion on the depreciation. I made notes on the margin on the transmission plant, the plant additions, the annualization of count 106, and I wanted to discuss those with you. After this had been resolved, simply because I didn't think that type of discussion might be real interesting or germane to what's taking place here today. But I'm curious on the different types of depreciation, if there's different types that are used for those areas. And I also wanted to engage you after this was settled on the basis of a test year versus forecast year and get some thoughts from you on that as well. But we won't engage in that at this time. There were a couple other questions that I have, but I think what I'll do is pause and see if someone else has some questions at this point. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
You bet. I do have a few questions. My first question deals with the mayor radio issue, and I guess I'll make this an open question to staff or interveners or applicants, but first maybe I'll look to staff. I mean, is the way this handled? I mean, give me your reflections on how this is being handled here in the settlement. And I understand you're bound to support the settlement before the commission. So,
this is Bob Canano from staff. Essentially, what happened in the Mayor Radio adjustment is Black Hills Power and Light had a subsidiary that Mayor Radio was under in the corporation, and during a test year. They did charge, Black Hills Power for the services they provided to them. I believe it was in January or early 2006, Black Hills Power bought Mayor Radio. And so what the adjustment does is reflect what they paid for Mayor Radio, and they also included in the filing is they made some improvements to Mayor Radio to make the system better. Basically, it was related for the communication systems for Black Hills Power, and so they can, communicate with each other when they go out in the field and look at their lines and see, if there's any problems or anything like that. And so what the adjustment does is basically incorporate that into the rate base. And they do have a little bit of revenue from Mayor Radio that they had like two or three different customers that they just didn't want to cut off. So that's still included in there, and there's adjustment for revenues related to that. And staff also purged the expenses that were charged to Black Hills Power in the test year. We made a specific adjustment to that for Mayor Radio. And hopefully that answers the questions related to that.
Maybe I can give you some background as to the importance of this acquisition. Mayor Radio was the radio communications provider in the Black Hills for a long, long time. And because of the terrain in the Black Hills, it's difficult to put in these types of radio communication systems. And Black Hills Power, for years, has been the largest customer of Mayor Radio. And we utilize that to provide safe and reliable service to our customers, and it's been primarily radio communications between our dispatch and our service trucks and line trucks, particularly important during storm restoration processes. As wireless communications have changed, that business really was shrinking, and Jack Mayer decided about 3 years ago to retire. Black Hills Fibercom saw an opportunity to look at those tower sites that were available and then really didn't enter into that business. But with Black Hills Power being the largest customer and solely dependent upon that system, we then acquired it as a corporation and moved it into Black Hills Power this year. We are in the process of upgrading that system. The system's 40 years old, I believe, which means that it's very difficult to get parts and at times impossible to get parts. We've retained a couple of the key employees as Black Hills Power employees now, and it is going to be a system that is primarily for the support of Black Hills Power's operations, but we will continue to provide service to some customers if they continue to want to buy our services. But it is now essentially a utility asset.
Mr. Singer?
Essentially what staff's adjustment did in real simple terms is we made it look, we did our best to make it look like Black Hills Power had and owned and operated Mayer Radio during the test year. That's essentially, we took consideration expenses, employees, revenues, and adjusted the test year to make it appear as if it was there for the whole time. Thus, a known and measurable adjustment.
I mean, are you marketing this service?
No.
I mean, is this, are you taking new customers?
No, we don't intend to.
Keith referenced maybe three customers that we have kept. They're large customers of Black Hills Power. They were also reliant upon Mayer Radio, so we continue to service their radios for them as a courtesy to them and creates revenue, which is offset in our revenue requirement as well.
Well, I presume that the revenue was offset. I was just sort of curious if there was active marketing going on and if new customers were coming on board, how that revenue would be treated, but it sounds as though that's not the case.
That is not the case, no.
Okay.
In fact, Mayer Radio consists of two employees, so it's not what I would call large companies, two technicians that we brought on board. So.
Question for staff. You know, the customer charge is moving from $7.50 to $8 on the residential side. How does that – can you give me an idea of how that compares with other customer charges and IOUs in the state? If it's on the low end, middle?
Well, I don't have those numbers right in front of me. This is Dave Jacobson of staff. But it is comparable. Some of our companies I know are higher than that, and some are lower. So I mean, it's in the middle range, I would think.
Okay, thanks. Vegetation management. Seems as though, when I forget the exact number, something like $730,000 is being allowed as an expense on that. I don't know. I think in the staff memo was noted that was considerably higher than the 3 or 5 year average. Perhaps staff could address why they felt comfortable allowing a much higher number there.
When we originally we had made an adjustment to Black Hills Power, and during settlement to actually decrease that expense, Black Hills Power made it very clear to us that because of circumstances that have taken place and some litigation that has taken place, that they have updated their vegetation management plan, and thus they have agreed to spend that much. You know, all I have to do is say the word forest fires, and I think it probably sums everything up. They've agreed to spend that much on an average. I think it was an average over several years to spend that each year, to keep the vegetation down around transmission distribution lines that are applicable here. And staff believe that was, you know, they indicated to us this was going to, although it was an increase in their expense during the test year, they indicated to us that it was going to be an ongoing expense, and thus we believed it was appropriate to leave it at that amount. And then Black Hills Power further agreed to actually promise that they would spend that much, so.
And is there I'll call it a clawback provision. That's probably not the right technical term, but I mean, is there a subject to refund at the I mean, if those expenses are not spent and vested, that at the next rate case that'll be reviewed.
Yes, the settlement does provide for review of that commitment. It's not specific as to what would happen, but it's understood by the parties that issue would be a problem at the time of the next rate increase that would need to be addressed.
You've noted in your application, Black Hills Power noted in its application that there was a revenue deficiency of approximately $14.4 million and that you were requesting less than that. And then the settlement provides for even less than that. Should we view this as a guarantee that the next rate case will be sooner rather than later?
Well, no one would have predicted in 1995 how long out we would be able to go. The business changes much more quickly than it historically has, and so I don't believe there is any good way to predict whether this causes the next rate case sooner or not, other than to know that had we had greater revenues, that certainly does defer the need because you have greater returns and greater earnings. We are comfortable that we can function properly and provide a high level of customer service during the three-year rate freeze. Beyond that, we're not making any predictions.
We've talked about three adjustments, and I think in your testimony, Mr. White, you indicated that would be, although there are three separate calculations, that on the customer bill they show up as a single line item. And I just want to verify that that's correct.
That is our intent.
Okay. On page 12 of a question for staff, on page 12 of the memo, halfway down the page, you note that, and we're talking about SECA here, and the $1 million on the downside, and it says, cost decreases to customers once those costs decrease by more than $1 million as measured on a per kilowatt hour basis. I think I understand the SECA, but the phrase as measured on a per kilowatt hour basis, I wanted to make sure that I understood that.
That was something we tried to clarify. There could be a circumstance where costs decrease by $2 million, but because the per units, the kilowatts, hours delivered actually decreased by a substantial amount also. So when you calculate it on a per kilowatt basis, and it also goes on the same way on the $2 million increase, we have to calculate on a per kilowatt basis and then multiply it times their usage to find out what it is on a per kilowatt basis. So that's how we calculate the $1 million. It's not just strictly a $1 million decrease or the $2 million increase on the upside. It's got to be calculated on a per kilowatt basis, so we know that's essentially what the $1 million and the $2 million on the upside is referring to.
So it's normalized for usage. Is that
yes.
A way to look at it?
Yes.
Yes, and for good reason. The rates that are before you today provide for energy charges that include a component for natural gas, fuel oil, and purchased power. And so that base charge that's provided for in Statement P is incorporated in those rates. And so it's a comparison to essentially the base rates, and has there been a change in that component cost?
I think the last one I've got right now deals with the agreement with the interveners, and the question I'm asking is not contained in the confidential, it's contained in the staff's memo, and there is a difference in the increase that the interveners are getting as opposed to what has been agreed to on a company-wide basis. And I think it's worth noting and verifying that reduction, that's basically coming out of Black Hills Power's revenue requirement, that you all are stepping forward with that, you know, $85,000, and that's not coming out of the system or out of the ratepayers.
That's correct. The company had requested an across-the-board rate increase, and to the extent that there was a reduction in that percentage necessary to settle with the industrials, our shareholders have accepted a lower revenue increase.
I do have one other question, again, about the CECA. It seems interesting that on the $1 million side, on the cost reduction side, that once more money is saved than that, that 100% of those savings go to the ratepayer. And I think that's great for the ratepayer, but does it provide, a question to staff, does it provide a bit of a disincentive for the company to, you know, isn't there an opportunity for a company to make sure that they save $999,000 rather than $1.5
million? You know, you could look at it that way. I know that Black Hills Power does everything that they can to keep their rates as low as they can for their customers, because when their rates go up, they have, you know, the customers call the commission, customers call the company and complain. And I can understand that, but one thing we do have to remember is on the we tried to find some sort of a mechanism, because they were taking the risk on the top side of $2 million of increases. So we had to give them something, and this gave them a stability range where there's a $3 million swing in rates, whether it's down $1 million or up $2 million, where the customers aren't going to see anything. And that was one of the concerns that that staff had, and this is what the company proposed back to us. We looked at it, and we thought it was a workable issue. And, you know, one could say that. I don't believe that Black Hills Power is going to strive to save $999,000. Plus, they're not going to know technically until the end of the year. So,
I think your comments are taken very well by me. Of course, you know, Black Hills Power wouldn't gain the system in that way. But isn't it interesting that this mechanism doesn't reward the company for saving even more money? I mean, there's not a split as opposed to, I mean, not only past the $1 million, but in fact, the $1 million that was saved, you know, prior. And you know, it's not a big enough issue for me to be interested in scuttling the settlement necessarily, but I was just curious from a design perspective if this makes sense.
If we would have proposed a sharing mechanism on the bottom side, a percentage, company gets 50%, customers get 50%, or some other percentages, we believe it would have meant, in the end, it would have meant less in the customers' pockets, because we'd have shared it. The way natural gas prices have been fluctuating and growing and everything, you know, I will say that it's hard to look out in the future and to know what's going to happen, but based on what we've seen in the last 5-6 years, it's safe to say that costs probably aren't going to go down by huge amounts. Price of natural gas and purchase power are going to be increasing. There may be some decreases, but the fluctuation is going to be on the upward trend. So the chances of you know, huge changes, and we just are small, and we just saw this as one of the biggest benefits for the customers to actually put money back in the customers' pockets if costs do actually decrease.
Yes, Commissioner, I would like to add that this is one of the items that we discussed among staff and with the company. And what we, kind of the conclusion we came to is that this is going to be subject to our annual review. And I believe even the company stated that as time goes by, we're going to see what the results of this adjustment is. And as we are able to step in at any time upon any indication that it's not working as we proposed. So no, we're not ironclad that what the exact results are going to be. But we do have the ability to step in at any time at the annual review or any other time if we suspect things are going lopsided or one way or the other. So,
let me give you my perspective on it, Commissioner. The range, as Keith talked about, provides for stability. And it would be our hope that the conditional energy cost adjustment stays at a zero annual. We're within that range, and the customers see price stability. Our feeling was that if rates drop, or costs for natural gas and purchase power drop materially, that there was something happening in the marketplace. And for us to keep part of that first $1 million because of changes in that marketplace would be difficult to explain to customers. Explaining to customers price stability is relatively easy. Explaining to them a windfall when the markets drop material would be more difficult, and difficult in the proceedings that we would have each year. And so we accepted that should we have a material difference in those costs, customers would receive 100% of the benefit.
I get it now. Thanks very much. Yeah.
I'd like to add just one more thing, too, that helps continue the incentive on keeping costs down is Black Hills Power does operate a power marketing, and they are incented on their own through their power marketing function to keep costs as low. They're going to want to, you know, keep their costs as low as they can, and they can't distinguish between, in the end, we always, the customers always get the lowest cost energy, but they're constantly going to be striving because the lower that they can keep their costs on for the power marketing side of it, the lower, the higher margins they possibly make when they're selling that power to non-native load customers. So therefore, they're incented that way also.
Well, that's helpful too. I mean, the point that they're, frankly, the other incentives in the system vastly outweigh this. I think that's helpful. Other questions or comments from commissioners or advisors?
This is Greg Ruslov, and just a couple questions. And the first would be with regard to the crystal ball you brought along with you today. Question arose yesterday, how predictive is the base cost of fuel in the steam clause? How predictive is that of the future? And now we all understand how things can change, but, you know, there is a certain relationship between ownership of the coal mine, the power plants, and the customers you serve. And we all know that for the past decade or so, you've had stable rates. And I guess I'm not looking for odds, but at least a comment from the company on where they think this so-called dead band in the CECA and the way the adjustment clause is structured. Are we likely to see some stability for the foreseeable future that your customers are somewhat used to in the fuel clause?
Well, we have three adjustment clauses. And certainly the transmission system in the West needs improvement, and there's a potential that we'll see increased costs associated with transmission. Now, whether that's an increased cost on a per kilowatt-hour basis, that's hard to say because our system is growing. But there is a trend towards increasing transmission costs. For our affiliate coal mine, we are now north of the interstate in a new pit, and what we're experiencing is a doubling of the overburden. And so we do have an expectation that because of that increased overburden, we will have an additional shift and some additional costs that will pass through. We also, though, are working to attract additional sales for that mine, which can help mitigate some of those cost increases. And in fact, at the end of 2007, we expect to put into service another 95-megawatt coal-fired power plant to serve our customers in Cheyenne. And that will help mitigate some of those costs. So there's a trend towards slightly increasing costs for coal. The West is increasing potentially transmission. The natural gas prices have been lower again. Purchase power prices have been lower, but they're more volatile than we've experienced in the past. And so the conditional energy cost adjustment, I think, is more a condition of volatility in future markets than predictability of any particular trend. And so we may see some years where we do have a conditional energy cost adjustment, but our hope is that the combination of the risk sharing and the power marketing net income credits will mitigate any material increases for customers.
And not to belabor the point that's been made over and over again this morning, but with regard to the CECA and thinking about the downward side, the $1 million reduction in costs, if it goes to $1.1 million, it all goes back to the customers. At least it struck me that, you know, there is some thought, and I guess I'm directing this at you. There is some thought that if costs do go down, and again, it was mentioned, there will be additional power marketing opportunities if everything else remains equal. And frankly, there's a situation where even though it looks like somewhat of a disincentive, there's a chance for everyone to benefit if we see the costs go down.
Yes, there is.
And it'd be a wonderful world at that point.
One we look forward to.
Thank you.
Now we have some confidential questions, but are there any other non-confidential? Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Kyle, in your opening remarks, you gave a really good overview of the agreement. I appreciate that very much, and you touched on some of the challenges from your standpoint of getting information out to the consumer. There are a couple of areas that I'm particularly interested in and curious about how you intend to engage the consumer. The first is the difference in the rate with the Black Hills interveners, and the second is the relationship with an adjusted fuel clause. I understand that a lot of your customers have not had the adjusted fuel clause, and so those would be two areas that I think that are going to be of interest to them. How do you plan to work your public relations with them on those two issues?
Well, we've been working our public relations since we filed the case, and we believe that our customers understand the need for the increase, as evidenced by the contacts we've received, which have been minimal, by the interventions, which were just four customers, by the contacts that the commission has had. We believe that there is an acceptance of the rate increase, even at the announced 9.5% level. And so the difference between the 7% and the 7.9% is a slight difference in our mind. There are other provisions that the interveners have accepted, which mitigate that. They're confidential, but they do mitigate that difference. When it comes time to have the adjustment clauses go into effect, we will address that, but we'll have had, again, another 14 months of rate stability. It's hard to tell whether those will, in fact, have some offsets where we may see some decreases associated with increases through those three adjustments. We will continue to educate our customers. We will educate our staff. That process has begun already, and that our customer service representatives have been in training yesterday and today in anticipation of a potential approval here. We will have a notice incorporated in our January and February bills to discuss this rate increase and provide comparisons. We are prepared. We think that our high customer satisfaction level, the fact that it's been over 11 years, and the volatility that they've experienced in their other consumer goods will allow this to go through relatively easily.
We appreciate the comprehensiveness of your public relations and getting that information out, how you handle it, the fact that you have additional staff schooled on how to explain it to your consumers, because ultimately our Consumer Affairs Division receives phone calls. If utilities cannot handle those well enough and properly, then our folks end up having to answer the phone a lot more often and go through a lot more work. So we appreciate your anticipation of those challenges and taking care of them. The last question I believe I have is for staff on transmission cost adjustment. I understand it's fairly simple dollar-for-dollar pass-through. What my concern is potential for gaming a system by selling to a subsidiary with the RTOs and the let me just ask a question. Is there a potential for gaming a system when you have a pass-through on a transmission cost adjustment where I won't give you the for instance that I'm thinking of. I just want to, I'm just mainly curious whether or not it's possible for a company to enrich another company, such as a subsidiary, by paying higher transmission costs than otherwise they'd have to.
The only cost, the costs that are being passed through would be a FERC tariffed cost.
Okay.
Those are the costs, and it's the cost that Black Hills Power would pay for those FERC tariff rates.
Okay. So there isn't an opportunity for a subsidiary or another company owning transmission lines to charge a higher price to Black Hills in order for Black Hills to pass additional revenue to that company?
I can't think of anything because everything would be a FERC tariffed price that they pay, and I can't think of any circumstance where they could game the system. Certainly Black Hills would probably know, better than I, but.
Shall I ask you that question? I just want you to know I'd ask that question of anyone. I'm sure I 100% trust you folks and you trust us, but there's going to be someone else potentially in your spots 5-10 years from now. Just curious.
Well, I think the scenario where you're at risk is if we bought unneeded transmission capacity from a subsidiary or an affiliate. We currently don't have any affiliates where we would be buying any services from. But that's one of the reasons why you have the opportunity to review the filing on an annual basis and require the company to demonstrate the prudency in its transmission acquisitions. So I think the safeguards are certainly there if anyone was tempted to do something like that.
Okay. Thank you very much.
I think you should also recognize that there is an incentive in that for our transmission service. South Dakota isn't 100% of our transmission costs, and to the extent that we would buy unnecessary transmission in jurisdictions where we don't have a transmission cost pass-through, we're going to eat those costs. So I don't see a scenario where Black Hills Power would even be tempted to do something like that.
Thank you.
Against our ethics policy anyway.
I'm sure it would be. Thank you very much. It's an interesting answer. I appreciate that. And I do very much, again, appreciate the all of the information, the way it was provided to us, and it was very easily understood. I appreciate all the work that everyone went to. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You bet. We've talked a little bit about number of contacts that the company or that the staff has received. I heard at one point the number of folks that had contacted the commission on this docket, and it was a relatively small number. I guess I'll check again. Do we know how many consumer contacts we've had?
I haven't checked with Deb downstairs lately, but as of about, it was about last time I checked, it was a month ago, and at that time it stood at 9 contacts. Those are, of course, available for commission review, but Deb indicated to me that some of those were merely somewhat like inquiries rather than, the outright complaint. So she said it was minimal.
Thanks. We do have Bob Towers on the line, and Mr. Towers has acted as a staff consultant. I just, Mr. Towers, I know you do, in your years in the industry, you've done a lot of these. I might just check with you to see if you have some comment on the settlement before the commission and your opinions on it.
A reasonable settlement. The case is a bit unusual. It's fairly complicated because of things that were just happening and were kind of difficult for the staff to get a handle on. For example, the company had only recently set up a service company organization that actually became effective, I think, on January 1 of 2006. So looking back at 2005 as a base year for a revenue requirement determination required that we look forward to see how this new service company situation was going to operate and whether it was we thought it was reasonable or not. So we did address that issue among staff and in the negotiations. negotiations dealt with that issue with the company and ended up making some changes that are reflected in the settlement stipulation to improve the methodologies that are have been adopted in the service company setup. The fact that the company has, this company has not been in for a rate review in 10 years meant that there was something of a learning curve for the staff on every front to understand better how the company operates, what causes its costs to be incurred, and then how to evaluate what occurred during the test year and what's likely to what would be reflective of the immediate future, plant additions, customer growth, that sort of thing. I think without going through the memo that Keith prepared, item by item, there was just a reasonable meeting of the minds on how the issues could be resolved in a way that was fair to the company and to ratepayers. So I certainly support the settlement agreement.
Thanks, Mr. Towers. Are there other non-confidential questions or comments at this time? Mr. Smith, did you have?
I had one sort of following up on Commissioner Hansen's concerns about the transmission flow through, but turning to the CECA, if I understand the and it's under power marketing net income, that paragraph B, and to me at least, under power marketing is where there's much more of a possibility for shenanigans, as some commissions have found around the country, where in effect you game your own generation against the market. And as I understand that paragraph B, what that does is commits, you've made a commitment under paragraph B that you will always dedicate your lowest cost generation resources to the regulated customers in South Dakota.
That's correct. And that is a condition regardless of what resources were necessary to meet the customer's requirements.
That's also something we've been doing for quite some time, for a number of years. I don't know how many years off the top of my head, but quite some time.
Thank you. I think the only the other question I have gets into confidential materials. So.
Other non-confidential questions or comments at this time? For those listening on the Internet, we will briefly shut off the Internet so as to be able to ask questions specific to an agreement between the Black Hills Interveners and Black Hills Power, which has been filed as confidential with this commission. After we're done with that line of questioning, we will come back, turn the Internet back on, see if there are other questions or comments, and if appropriate, take action at that time. So I wouldn't expect it would be more than, you know, a few minutes, certainly. So this time we're shutting off the Internet, and the room is being cleared of folks who shouldn't be here. Right, we are back on the Internet. And we are done with closed session, where we discussed a confidentially filed settlement agreement between Black Hills Interveners and the applicants. Are there other questions or comments by commissioners or advisors at this time? We have, we'll note for the record that we just have confirmation from our Director of Consumer Affairs that we have had 9 consumer inquiries related to this docket. So thanks, Mr. Jacobson. And to Deb Gregg. Other questions or comments? If there aren't any, a motion is in order. Oh, Mr. Smith, you've got your mic on?
I was actually turning it off.
Oh, gotcha. My apologies. If there aren't any questions or comments, motion is in order. I would move that the commission... I guess I'll preface this by noting that this is the tough work for commissioners and commissions. You know, rate adjustments, rate increases are, they're not the best part of the job, but I think if there was going to be a rate case that was going to be, less painful, I don't think this rate case is particularly painful as a commissioner, because we are talking about inflation's gone up 28%. in the last decade. We're talking about what I think is a modest increase in rates. It's fair and just, fair and reasonable as staff and the interveners and the applicants and our outside consultant have all indicated that they think it is fair and reasonable. And I also think that it's a little bit easier when you've got something like an incentive mechanism with the CECA we've talked about, and it's also a little bit easier when you've got a company like Black Hills Power that has endeavored and has worked pretty hard to gain not necessarily the trust of this commission. I mean, that's nice to have, but I think it's even more important that it's the trust of their customers, their ratepayers, and we have not heard an outpouring of outrage about this. I think people understand that over time, costs do go up, and there are not a lot of other things in life that we buy on a daily basis that have not gone up in the last 11 years. With that, I would move that the commission approve the joint motion, grant the joint motion for approval of the settlement stipulation. I'll make that motion first.
I will second the motion, and I appreciate everything that you just said. I concur with everything that you just said, and I would just simply add that not only is this not painful for me as a commissioner to go to have gone through, which I abhor rate cases, but it was much, much easier than what I had anticipated this one would be. But I just do not see this being painful at all for the consumer, and that is extremely delightful for me as a commissioner to vote on something that on a rate case challenge that is fair and justifiable and reasonable for the ratepayer. Thank you, folks, all of you again.
Having first thanked staff for all their hard work and hours they put into this, and Black Hills Power for an admirable, very trustworthy approach to a rate increase. I very much appreciate that. I will concur.
With that, the motion is made, seconded, and passes. I will also move that the confidentially filed agreement between the interveners and Black Hills Power, that the commission accept that, or rather approve that as a contract with deviations. And before asking for a second, I would maybe just verify that's the proper wording.
I think it is. Rolaine, any suggestions? Yes, I think it is.
Okay. Great. So moved.
I'll second.
I concur.
Motion carries. You know, I will just note my two colleagues have done it better than I have, but I do feel the need to pile on, and that is thanking all of the parties for how easy this was, not to cast the vote, but also to understand. I know if you read through staff's memo, it's evident to me that this was more than a cursory glance, certainly. There was an incredible amount of due diligence done, and certainly appreciate in a very sincere way all of the efforts that staff put into this. With that, unless there are any other
one last thought, and maybe I'll defer to Ms. Kramer if need be or staff. Should we have a separate motion approving the tariff filing? Pardon me, did someone on the phone have something to say?
That was a cough.
Oh, I'm sorry. Should there be a separate motion to approve the tariff as filed?
Well, actually, the joint motion addresses approval of the settlement, and the tariffs are attached to the settlement. So if you approve the joint motion, that follows right through to the tariffs.
Okay, thank you.
Does anybody have any other business to come before this commission? Hearing none, we will stand adjourned.